I'm going to be teaching a little bit on the future that God has in mind for you. And let me start by saying there's no gravy train. You can say amen. I said there's no gravy train. There's no quick fix. There's no shortcut. You're not born today, tomorrow a student, and the day after that a director of a company. It's a journey. So Deuteronomy chapter 1 again, verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn. Take the journey. How many first years here tonight? Come and lift your hand. I want to see. How many first years here tonight? Okay, welcome to Bloemfontein. Then Pretoria, how many first years? I can see you right through the camera tonight. Come on, put the camera on those first years. Come on, come on, media, wake up here tonight. Put how many first years? Wave at us. Come on, Pretoria, first years. Thank you. Welcome. Then also Johannesburg, many first years there. Also in Potchefstroom, welcome tonight. Your life's never going to be the same again. So he says, you've dwelt in long enough in this mountain, whatever the mountain is, turn, take the journey and go. Tell the person next to you, it's time to go. Then verse 8, he says, see, I have set the land before you to go in. Twice we see the word go. Nothing happens unless you go. The time has come for everybody to leave their mountain behind. Whatever the mountain represents, you have to leave it behind. And you have to turn from the mountain, and you have to make up your mind to be committed to the journey that God is calling you unto. Because there's a land of promise waiting for you. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Say tonight, I have a future and I have a great hope. Come on, young person. So God's instruction to Joshua is very clear. You've got to turn away from your negativity, from your shame, from your past, and you have to take the journey and press into what God has for you. You've got to see what God has in store for you. What you see, you will possess. If you see nothing, you will possess nothing. So 2026 is the year of? 2026 is the year of what? That means we have places to go and we have things to do. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Come on. Oh, come on, you are a world shaker. You're a history maker in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, you better get ready for great things. So God is very clear when he talks to Joshua. He says, I've set the land before you, but you have to see it. So everything in life starts with vision. Proverbs 29 verse 18, the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Our nation needs vision. Not a good sono speech. We need vision. We don't need division, we need vision. Make my work easy, that's why I brought you here. Proverbs 29 verse 18, King James Bible says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Proverbs 29, 18, Passion Translation says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. Listen, what South Africa needs is not another intelligent idea. We need leaders who will stand up with clear vision. Not promises, but vision. Vision that will unite us. Vision that will give young people hope of a better future. Vision that will eradicate 40% unemployment among our young people. Vision that will be assertive and clear, because we are living in the best land on the planet Earth in the name of Jesus. We're living in a good land. We're living in a rich land. We're living in a blessed land. But we have to see the future that God has in mind for us and stop living at a place of excuse. Stop thinking, I want to get on a list and immigrate to some other place. No, you are born in South Africa. You are destined by God to flourish in South Africa. What you need is a vision of the future. God's vision for you as a young person. Because there's something you cannot do. You cannot change yesterday. You cannot change your past. You cannot change where you were born. You cannot change who your parents were. You cannot change your education of yesterday. You cannot change the mistakes of yesterday. But what you can embrace is the vision that God has for you, and commit yourself to the vision and commit yourself to the journey, like Joseph, through the pit, through the pot, to the palace, never giving up, being tenacious until you reach the destination that God has in mind for you. So all achievers in life are people of vision. Man without vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future is a man who will always return to his past. So people fail in life. They live frustrated in life because they have no vision. Success and happiness in life belongs to men and women of vision. Vision is highly essential for surviving and thriving in life. When Jesus came, he didn't promise you a get-by life. He says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Dr. Miles Monroe said, I think the greatest gift God ever gave man is not the gift of sight, but the gift of vision. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. When a person doesn't have a vision, they live by their eyes. That means we live by what we see. That's one of the reasons why people are so depressed. It's because they have no vision. You ask people, tell me about tomorrow, and they can't talk about tomorrow. If I had to take a piece of white paper and I say, write the thing that is dominant in your mind, what will you write? I mean, listen to people who say all the time, I can't see, I don't believe, I cannot afford, we never going to get education. There are so many things against us. And yes, the amazing thing about God, when God promises Israel, I have given you the land, then God says, you still have to go and possess it. So God has already given you your health, but you have to possess it. God has given you prosperity, but you have to possess it. You have to possess it by faith. You have to be strong and courageous. You have to make up your mind to commit yourself to the journey, because it is a journey. Yes, Mr. Falstead, he was the greatest principal of Great College ever. Yes, amen, give him a hand clap, right? Yes. Wel is hy waar hy. Behalwe vir sy volle spies, daai was nie goeie mense gewees nie. But in any case, so how many of you were born and you went to sub A and the next year you went to matric? Okay. How many of you started at grade 1 and the next year you went to grade 12? How many of you? Why are you expecting that in life? Okay, okay. All right, okay, okay. I'll give you a break. How many of you went to standard grade 7? Okay, you can see I'm ancient. A grade 7. And then from grade 7, because you were so genius and so brilliant, you went to grade 12. How many of you? What was it? To educate yourself in school was what? A what? Come on, clever. It was a what? It was a what? It was a what? Not the band called Journey. It was a what? It was a? It was a? It was a? It was a? It was a what? So building a great life is a what? Building a great life is a what? Getting a degree is a what? Getting your master's is a what? Getting a job is a what? Growing your company is a what? Building a great marriage is a what? Building anything in life is what? A journey. No easy. No leapfrog. It's a journey. You want to reach the top, you have to climb to the top. And that journey is a journey of intention. It's a journey of discipline. It's a journey that you have to walk out. It's a journey that you have to always keep going forward. Because if you don't go forward, you move backwards. Life is like a treadmill. And that treadmill, my buddy, is not standing still. If you go to gym, you'll know what I'm talking about. You stand still on that treadmill, you're gonna fall off on the backside. You climb on that treadmill and you better keep pace. And if you wanna get ahead, you better go further than 4. You need to go to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Even if there's no breath in your lungs, you have to stay true to the course and finish the 20 minutes and don't bail out. Because when you bail out, you lose the future that God has for you. And that's the lie that's out there in the world. There's somehow a bailout plan for you. Somehow something is just going to fall into your lap. Somehow, someday, you are going to wake up and there's going to be a truckload of money in your bank. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. You don't get a body like this going to gym one day. This is a grap. Ha, ha, ha. You have to work at it. And if I don't work at it, even now, and I turn sideways, I say, oops, there's a millimeter too much. So unlike many of you that say, I don't know where this came from. Came from the fridge. So vision is the source of hope. It's the source of courage. It's the source of perseverance in the midst of difficulty. And I'll guarantee you, any journey in life will be faced with difficulty. To finish your studies, everybody wants to go party. You're going to have to make up your mind. Listen there in Pretoria, Johannesburg, that you're not going to become a party animal. You are going to be a disciplined follower of Christ. You are going to educate yourself. You are going to put in the hard yards when everybody else is playing and messing around. You are going to have the self-respect because your vision is what harnesses you, and your vision is what tempers you, and your vision is what gives you discipline. A vision of the future that God has for you. So your vision is a picture of the preferred future that God has in mind for you. So don't let yourself go. Not physically, not emotionally, not mentally, not spiritually. Keep yourself disciplined. Keep yourself focused. Amen? And the older you become, the more difficult it becomes with certain things, right? So therefore you need to become more determined. The higher you climb, the less the oxygen, the more you need to stay committed to the journey. Anybody can bail out at base camp, but we are called to summit the mountain. We are called to finish what we start. Come hell or high water, we lean into the winds of opposition and we force ourselves by the power of God and through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to keep on keeping on until we cross the finish line that God has in mind for you. So vision is seeing the end from the beginning. It is seeing tomorrow today. So what does your tomorrow look like? Well, Pastor, you know, property is so expensive. I don't ever think we're going to be able to afford a house. You are right. I don't think I'll ever be able to afford a car. You're right. I just can't see myself getting a job in South Africa. You're right, buddy. Better get yourself on some list. Because it doesn't matter what I say, what God says. God saw a land of milk and honey, but the people couldn't see it. So it wasn't God that stopped them from going to the promised land. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't the giants. It was them. It was their mindset. They never entered because of unbelief. And that's what the world does. When circumstances come, people inherently default to fear. That's why God says, be strong and be of good courage. Be strong and be very courageous, because opposition is guaranteed. There's another devil waiting at every other level. And the greatest giants you will fight are the giants in your mind, the thoughts in your mind. Defeat does not start out there. Defeat starts in you. Defeat doesn't start when you stand in front of the cricket stumps and you have to bat and it's a difficult pitch. Defeat starts when you are sitting on the sideline, you watch everybody lose their wickets, and you think, oh my word, it's a difficult pitch. But here comes AB de Villiers, right? And he just walks on there as if the pitch is as easy as any other pitch, and he makes 100 runs, and people say, what's the difference? I'll tell you what's the difference. The difference is his attitude. The difference is there's no difficulty in his mind. The difference is he's had a made-up mind that I'm gonna excel in life. You need to get rid of Mr. D, Mr. I, Mr. F, F, I, Mr. C, Mr. U, Mr. L, T, Y. You have to get it out of your mind. There is no such thing as difficult. There is no such thing as impossible, because the Bible says things impossible with men are possible with God, for with God all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. That's why this is a journey of faith. A journey of faith. Yes, grace, but faith, my brother, because the grace of God does not paralyze you, does not leave you sterile, does not leave you passive. The grace of God energizes you. Like the Apostle Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God given to me. So we can all sit on our dust and rusty dusties. We can all wait for the gravy train. We can all wait for the manna and the quail to come into the camp. But the day is over, God says. You cross the Jordan River. Now you have to be strong and courageous. You have to possess the land by faith. You have to defeat the enemy. You have to slay the giants. You have to invade the strong-walled cities. I am with you. But you need to believe that you are able, that you are able, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. No matter the odds, no matter how heavy the deck is stacked against you, you better believe greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I have Jesus, the Savior that rose from the grave. That same Spirit lives alive, and He's alive in me, and He will quicken my mortal body. That's who I am. It's not a debate. It's not a negotiation. I'm predestined by God to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, to go over and not under. I'm not a rollover. I'm a takeover. Oh, takeover, NG. Oh, come on, give the Lord a praise. Just feel good. Give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Come on. Stop and wait. You need to go. Many voices that try to rob you of your hope. Oh, but God says, I know the thoughts I have for you. I have a clear vision for you. I've seen the Holy Spirit, and when He comes, by the way, Acts chapter 2 verse 17, the Bible says, young men will see visions. Right? Not a vision of a girl. I saw a boy. No. A vision for your life. Wat sien jy? Wat sien jy vir jou toekoms? Hou op almal vra, wat dink jy? Because there's one thing that there's plenty of. People have a lot of opinions and a lot of advice. And they'll give you advice that you have to live. But they won't live it themselves. So what is thy vision? What have you written down? You. Your vision. Huh? Because where there's no vision, where there's no vision, where there's no vision, where there is no vision, no, where there is no vision. So you've come to university there in Pretoria, down in Stellies, UJ, Wits, and your vision is to find a husband. Jesus help you. That's your vision. Be a pa, ach be a ma. Is it your BC? Huh? No. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, I ordained you, I separated you, and I called you. There's nobody alive on this planet with accident, by accident. You are here because God has a vision for you. And there's no discrimination in the mind of God between male or female. Come on, girls, give the Lord a praise. I know we have a Lions conference coming up, but you're not inferior to men. You are not inferior to any man. So you better have a vision. I said you better have a vision. You want to study medicine, have a vision to be a top specialist. You're an architect, have a vision to be a top architect. People say it's a male's world. Well, in Christ, there's neither male nor female. Don't allow the politics out there to stop you. You go for it with a vision. You invade the construction industry. You invade the men's territory. You don't have to stand back for any man at all. The girls say amen in the name of Jesus. Come on. So young men see visions, old men dream dreams. Now I see visions and dreams. I don't know what it makes me. So why? I dream and I see visions. And remember, a dream without action is a fantasy. A dream comes to pass, the Bible says, through much activity. So you can talk and pray till Jesus comes. Nothing will change until you arise, you get up, and you get on a journey. And that journey is not easy. Every day, you have to make decisions. Every day, you have to gird up the loins of your mind and choose. I'm committed. Mr. Volstead will tell you, Andre Ventus is one of the greatest rugby players we've ever had. There were many people with more potential. He would have seen people with great potential turn out to nothing. And then other people had average potential according to our education system. In any case, cannot evaluate human beings' potential. It's just something designed academically to say you're smarter than somebody else. Well, you're not smarter. You're smarter than some things, but that other person is much smarter than other things. There's no unsmart person. So sometimes people think they're very clever because they have eight distinctions, and I salute you for having eight distinctions, but your eight distinctions mean nothing when you get to university, and your honors at university means nothing until you get into the business world, until you start working, until you make up your mind, because there will be opposition, there will be betrayal, there will be things that go the way you do not plan. But when there's a vision, your focus is laser, you're unstoppable. You never become a crybaby, a thumbsucker. You never become a victim. You never blame everybody else. You take responsibility. And if you climb the mountain and the first time you do not succeed, you go back, you prepare a little bit harder, then you climb again. And if it still doesn't work, this time you went a little bit higher, you come back, you regather yourself, you refresh yourself, you revive yourself, then you climb again. You climb until you conquer that sucker in the name of Jesus. And once you've made that, and once you've conquered that, you're going to conquer something else, because that's who you are. A giant lives on the inside of you. The creator of the heaven and the earth lives on the inside of you. And while you, some of you are praying and waiting, God says, get off your rusty, dusty, blessed assurance and go and possess the land of promise by faith and by action in Jesus' name. Get busy. I said, get busy with a journey in life. So vision number one gives clear direction. It's a roadmap for our lives towards a destiny, a purpose and dreams. A vision evokes passion. Passionless people are people who have no vision. When people have vision, they are assertive, they are clear. Nehemiah had a vision when the whole city was in ruin. He walked through the city, got a vision, made up his mind, I will rebuild the walls, gathered the elders, and they got the job done in 7 months. Something that took over 90 years because there was not a leader with vision. You get into your company, you bring vision. You get into your home, you bring vision. You pastor a church, you bring vision. You cannot be neutral, you cannot be passive, you cannot be a sitter, you cannot lower your standards. CRC, by the way, all the pastors listening, our vision is to win the lost at any cost. Our vision is to take territory for God. We are not a docile, passive, self-inflated, self-centered, egotistical, driven movement. We are called by God as an army of God to conquer cities, to conquer nations, and to take territory for God. And every member that loves CRC shouts amen in Jesus' name. So the clearer the vision, the stronger the passion. So again, I ask you, what is your vision? What is it that you are aiming for? A vision motivates. Those who lack motivation in life truly lack vision. Vision prioritizes your life and your time. Like if you have a vision to be top as an engineer, as a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, whatever it is, a sportsman, you're not going to mess around when it's time to study. Say amen, young people. Okay, let's see who's sitting here tonight. How many students are here tonight? And lift up your hands, man. I'd like to see hands go up. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands. Okay, so I'm talking to you. So what's your vision? And what is your dedication to your vision? Do you see yourself as Joe Average? Why are you so quiet? You just want to scrape through. There's three no's. The rest of you, What? You need a firecracker under your foot. Who wants to do life and just be Joe Average? Who wants to be beige? Boring. Bland. Well, you shouldn't expect too much out of life. Why not? Well, do not aim too high. Why not? Because my mama told me, don't, you'll be disappointed. And if you get disappointed, just deal with it and get over it and just get on with it. But don't negotiate your vision. Don't negotiate. Don't settle for less because your family settled for less. Don't be confined by your environment, by your town, by your city, by your neighborhood, by everybody else around you who are naysayers, who are negative, and who are down talkers. You better start up talking. I say to people all the time, when they say to themselves, you're stupid, I say, don't say you are stupid. Stupid. Get rid of that out of your mouth. Don't say a negative word over your life. Say, I'm a winner. I hail from God. I'm born from above. I'm a child of God. I have the seed of greatness. I'm destined for greatness because that's what God said. You're not a loser. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. I don't care what your education was. Tonight is a turning point for you to make up your mind to see the vision God has for you and to commit yourself to the journey. Because those who go nowhere will try and derail you from your journey. Those who are not committed will try and steal your commitment. I mean, we started CRC in Lady Brand with 6 people. It wasn't easy. There wasn't a congregation waiting. There was a family and 2 people. 4 white people, a family, and 2 black people. 1987. I say it always because the ANC doesn't get credit for my salvation. And for me to come out of racism. God gets it. My eyes open. God saved me. And I got a vision to build a multicultural church, which we did in Lady Brand. Melia, amen. They were the first people. They're still with us today. Okay? So we had a vision, a clear picture, mental image. This is what we're going to do. And everything was against us. People said, and I was a young man, 23. Today, some 23 years olds don't know what time of the day it is. 23, we built our first church. 23. No, you don't have to clap for me. I'm just saying to you. But 5 years, we dug the trenches ourselves. We put the dugout in ourselves, built the building ourselves because we were committed to the journey. Then came Bloemfontein, which I didn't want to come to, by the way. And many people didn't want me. And out of 12 elders in a little church of 180, 9 voted, I'm not the right person. How's that for a job interview? But then God brought me in any case. And I don't say it arrogantly. Then I said to those people, I said, I played the Paul thing. I said, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. You're not employing me. God's bringing me here. So if you don't like it, you can leave. You say it sounds arrogant. No, you better believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, everybody else will mess with you all your life. You don't have to be arrogant, but you better be confident. You better know this is God. You better know this is God's journey for you. When you get sidelined, when you get ridiculed, when you get abandoned, when things go against you, you cannot doubt yourself because self-doubt is the worst kind of doubt that you can ever deal with. People can doubt you, but you don't doubt yourself. God believes in you. You better believe in yourself. So we started, and then Pretoria, and then Johannesburg, and then many other things. And churches started all over South Africa, all over the world, but it started in Lady Brand with 6 people. What's happening in Europe comes from South Africa. What's happening in every other church in South Africa comes from Bloemfontein. Everything comes from this house. Come on. A house of revival. A house of revival. Come on. Everything. Everything. Because somebody had a vision. People stood up united like this and said, we have a vision. Not a vision for ourselves, but a vision to change South Africa and a vision to change our world in the name of Jesus Christ. And you've been gracious and loving, and you've released me to go and pioneer the work of God and to go pioneer more things for God in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not sit and soak until we climb in a hole and you put dust over us. We have to take territory for God because this is our DNA. This is who we are. We will not stand back for anybody. We will be louder, we will be stronger, we will be more determined, and we will reach more souls for Jesus Christ and to hell with the devil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, shout hallelujah, shout anything. So when God calls Abram, I have to close in a few moments. The first thing is God calls him, he says, get out of your country. To a land I will show you, vision. Then Genesis 13, after Lot takes the best of the land, God says to him, lift up your eyes and now look from the place where you are, northward, eastward, southward, and westward. I changed the words around, okay? For all the land you see. I'm never going to get married. You're right. You're right. I'm getting married in the morning. No, you're not. But at least you're going to get married at the right time. Because if you get married tomorrow morning, it's not a good thing if you don't have a boyfriend. You'll have to go to Las Vegas for that. For all the land you see. People are trying to rob our people of vision. Whether you're white, yellow, black, color, doesn't matter. We are one under God. And if I have a vision, I don't have to take what is yours. I said, if I have a vision, I don't have to take what is yours, because I'm not looking what is yours. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's land, thy neighbor's this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have a vision. You don't have to covet anything. All you need is a vision and believe God. And the rest will be history. Even when people say it cannot be done, there's an exception to the rule. There's the God factor. People say you'll never get into that course. You'll get in the name of Jesus Christ. People say you'll never succeed in a business. Oh, you're going to do more than succeed. You are going to flourish in the name of Jesus Christ. If you see it, if you believe it, and you commit to the journey. It's easy to say amen, Pastor, but the journey is the difficult part. And that's a journey you walk out. The minute you quit, you stop. No, you regress. You climb a mountain. How many of you know that's ever done a physical exercise? When you feel like stopping and resting, you shouldn't, because if you do, it's very difficult to get going again. So if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't walk, drag yourself. Just move. But the minute you go sit there, because of lactic acid, it's going to be very difficult to get up and climb again. You have to make up your mind, I'm committed to summit this mountain. And come hell or high water, no matter the attack, you climb. You climb. Little by little. Even God said to Israel, you will possess the land little by little. Little by little, grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Then university. Then articles. Then you start as an appy, not as a director. No matter what your title is, I love you, TV. God bless you. Give them a hand. Amen. Not as a director. And I respect that today. I mean, at least we went to the army for 2 years. And then we had to study for 4 or 5 years and article for so many years and whatever. Today, people study 18, 19, 20, 21, 19, 20, 21, 22. And then they're an attorney or an advocate. 4 years? Now, I respect that you studied 4 years, but really? You're going to stand in a court of law against an advocate that's defended 50,000 people and you stand a chance? No, don't shout me down if I'm talking truth, because you don't want truth. You study accounting and then you want to go start a business? I'm not bringing my books to you. You qualify as a doctor and then you want to open a practice. I'm not coming to you. First go learn. Learn. Operate with another doctor that shows you how not to kill patients. Come on. not try and Google yourself or ChatGTP, or now you become an expert in every field. Stay in your lane. And when you go for two people, you have to climb a mountain. Not your friend. Not your friend who is on your level. What do you think about this? Really? It's like a three-year-old asking a three-year-old, what do you think about mom and dad? One generation teaches another generation. We can't be so self-inflated because we think we have information that we experienced. Information doesn't qualify you. Experience does. And experience requires a journey. And a journey that's filled with failures and successes. There's not a person over 50 that's built anything great that hasn't had many failures and had many opportunities to quit. I sat with a bunch of billionaires the other day and everyone says exactly the same thing. We have thought about quitting again and again and again, but we've just stayed in it. We've just stayed in it. In the lean seasons, we stayed in it. In the difficult seasons, we stayed in it. We stayed. We never compromised. We never gave up. We never backed off. We never took the path of least resistance. Because that's what the world wants to sell our young people in South Africa. Let's lower the standard of education. 33% will get you in university. Oh, Jesus help you. Let's lower everything. I know your yes means you agree with me, but we don't lower things. We don't make things easy. We don't write our children's exams. Some of you at university, you're going to have a very tough time because your mother got you through school. Now you're living here in Bloemfontein, you're in Pretoria, you're in and mama's not there. Mama dropped you off at school, and when you forgot your book, mama jumped back in her car and she ran back home and she brought your book. Not in my day. You left your book. Mama doesn't help you. You get cuts. You learn through pain. Listen to the message. You learn through pain. Not pleasure. Not easy. Resistance. Because God builds you before He builds your business. And part of that is pruning you. Proving you. Testing you. Like Joseph. No easy. Now you can be 50 years old and become like a crybaby. Ah, cry to your wife. And she becomes Jezebel. Ah, cry to your children. And they become Absalom. Ah, cry to everybody else. You can be 50 years old and be a baby. Just a baby. Because somewhere you collapsed in your mind. And you lost focus of vision. Vision of God. I've learned, if God gave you something, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody, no devil, no person, nobody can take away from it. But when you walk away from it, you are done. You are finished. So God tells him to lift his eyes, and then God says to him, arise and walk in the land through the length and the width. For I give it to you. So again, God says to him, lift your eyes, see it, and then possess it. So God says you have to leave the mountain to Abraham. Leave the land of idol worship. Whatever it is. Move with God into the unknown vision. Get out of your tent. Look to the stars and believe the promises of God. Realizing there's nothing you can do to change yesterday. If you never got the degree, go try again. If you never got the girl, go date somebody else's girl. Yeah, that guy's been promising him for 3 years to marry you. He's not going to marry you. Date that girl. Go take her. Now I'm going to start a war at the Lions Conference, okay? You've got to answer the call and you've got to start the journey. You have to leave your past behind. And everybody has a past. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Your past started the day you got born. My mommy wasn't there the way she should have been, okay? And my daddy wasn't there. I was the third born, and I wasn't as bright as my siblings. And I wasn't sporty, but you're arty. But your father was just attracted to the sporty one, but you have different talents. I mean, the opinions of people mean nothing. The opinions of your parents, your natural parents, even mean nothing. It's good if they validate you, and it's an important thing. And we have a lot of orphans in our country, orphan-hearted men, because the fathers never endorsed them. But now when you meet your heavenly Father, He affirms you, He approves you, He blesses you, He empowers you, and something settles in your heart, and you know that you know, like David said, when my mother and my father forsakes me, the Lord will take me up in Jesus' name. Why did David say that? Because when the prophet came to anoint a son in the house of Jesse, seven sons walked past the priest or the prophet, and he had to ask Jesse, don't you have another son? He was the overlooked one. He was the shepherd boy. He was the nobody. But in the mind of God, he was the somebody. He was a king in the making, and he knew it. That's why when everybody shied away from Goliath, David said, your servant will go fight with Goliath, because I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear. When nobody was watching, David was proving himself. He proved himself to be better out there in the desert, out there in the wilderness. So when the big match came, he stepped to the plate in the name of Jesus, and he brought that devil down in the name of Jesus. Everybody ran away, but David stood up to the challenge. Although his brother thought he wasn't able, although his father didn't even remember he had another son, David knew. David knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. Therefore, he never doubted. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of the armies of Israel. This day, you are coming down. Come on, Muhammad Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm ready for battle. I'm born for battle. I'm born for greatness. I'm born for this hour in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not defined by my uncles, my aunts, my life, my environment, my parents. I'm defined by God. That's why the first thing Jesus does, He recreates you. He saves you. He makes you a brand new person. He gives you ability, liberty, identity, vitality, equality. He makes you something beautiful. He turns you into an eagle. He turns you into a warrior. He turns you into a mighty man, a mighty woman of God. You have to get out of that wine press, Gideon. You have to get out of that minimizing attitude. I'm the least of the weakest. And you have to become the mighty man, the mighty woman of God. And you have to go in this power of your might. And you have to go possess the land. And you have to go defeat the obstacles. And you have to be unstoppable in the name of Jesus Christ, because your focus is clear. This is what God called me to do. I'm appointed. I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I cannot fail, because this is who I am. Not because of me, but because of Him. Last few things I want to say. I'm never here, so I'll preach for another hour. You know, when you go to gym every day, it's easy to go to gym every day. When you start skipping gym, it becomes difficult. You get what I'm saying? When you're focused in momentum and forward-minded and driven, it's easy. The minute you take a sabbatical, that's why COVID was from the pits of hell. Try to steal momentum. That's why as a church we said, we're not going to sit in our rusty dusties. Well, Umtata finished their building, cost us a lot of money, but we finished that building, we built it. We did it. Because we said, we're not going to sit. We're a forward-minded movement. So when you look at the Lewis, and you look at Andres, and you look at Pastor Brian, and many others who built great buildings, and Pastor JJ, and Pastor Martin is also building. We are a forward-minded move. The minute you don't move, you lose momentum. I gave the example. When I tore through Liga... When I tore three ligaments off my shoulder. Now, the one was off for many years, which I never knew. The supraspinatus back. Then I fell on the way to gym. I still gymed with two ligaments off. Three ligaments off. Still went to gym. Trained for 10 days after that, and my arm got blue. And I thought, blok skoor, ek is nie meer so sterk soos ek was nie. Wat is fout met my? And you know when you feel weak, you work harder. And I did more damage. So I went to a brilliant Dr. Jan Bloemfontein. And he said, lift your arm like this. I lift, I said, it's not possible. You don't have ligaments. He said, do this, I do that. He said, it's not possible. You have ligaments. You don't have ligaments. I didn't have ligaments to keep my shoulder operating. But I operated. I went to gym. But the story was, when after they healed me, they tied my hand to my body. And I became a T-Rex. This arm. T-Rex. Like David's going for major surgery now. His arms are as big as mine were. I lost a lot of weight because I can't train as hard anymore. It's irrelevant. But this arm became like T-Rex. Why? Because it was immobilized, tied to my body, and I had to do everything with my left. Then I put a lot of strain on this shoulder. God bless the shoulder, amen. But then after the 6 weeks, I took the arm out of the sling, and it was as weak as you can't believe. I could do nothing with it, and that's 6 weeks. And doctors know exactly what I'm saying. Saying it like this, couldn't move it. I couldn't move it. There's a huge lesson in it. Because it was immobilized. People immobilize themselves through fear, doubt, uncertainty, unbelief, whatever it is. And then they can't get back in the game. And then getting back in the, a comeback is always more difficult. So I had to do little stupid exercises. Like put your hand, well, I had to lift my hand with the other arm, put it on a table, and that's a fact. Now, obviously I can do this, but I couldn't. I preached with the one, remember. And then you do the scrolling exercises, but your hand is flat. Just to regain the movement. Then I had to put my arm against the wall and crawl. Okay, I can go this high, draw a line. Next time, go a little bit higher, draw a line. Go a little bit higher, go a little until I could go to church and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, I have a miracle, I had a miracle. No, I didn't have a miracle. I had to go climb in a swimming pool and do water therapy with stupid little weights, and you go do things like this. How's that for Jim? To regain what I lost. A lot of you have lost your forward momentum because you chose to become a camper, and you justify it. But you're in a sling. You're not moving. There's no momentum. You have to gather yourself. You have to get yourself out of the sling. Get yourself back on your feet in the name of Jesus Christ. And you have to start walking again little by little. Like my arm could move only a little bit. You just have to start a little bit. A little bit. Then the little will become quicker. And as you walk, you're going to become stronger and stronger. And then eventually you can go back to gym and do everything you want to do that you never could do in the name of Jesus. But there's no miracle. There's no bailout. You have to get back. You have to get back in spiritual exercise, mental exercise, and you have to do the possible so God can do the impossible. Are you listening to me tonight? There's no easy. There's no quick fix. If you're broken, if your heart is broken, Jesus came to heal you. If you are bound, Jesus came to deliver you. There is no excuse to sit and soak and settle. No matter what political leaders are saying, what about you as a young person? I can't change your past, but I can tell you God will take you where you are, and God will do something great and beautiful with your life. But you have to get ready for radical change. You have to leave your mountain behind, and that means you have to leave the naysayers behind, those 10 spies who say, we are not able, there's no great future for us. You have to make up your mind, I have a future, I have a hope, because the Lord is for me, and if God is for me, it doesn't matter who is against me. People can talk about you, belittle you, people can say you are the least in the class, it doesn't matter. They don't see what's going on in your mind and in your heart, and you keep your heart strong, you keep your mind strong, and you go for it, and one day the very people that criticize you are gonna work for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet and give the Lord a praise all over South Africa. Come on, CRC. Give the Lord a mighty praise in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a praise, because you are alive from the dead. You are risen in Christ. Give him a mighty praise one more time. Come on, in Jesus' name. Vision. Walt Disney saw what didn't exist, was fired from a newspaper for lack of imagination. Everybody wants to go to Disney World. Bankrupt multiple times, rejected by dozens. Pictures, please. Let's go. Rejected by dozens of financiers. But he said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Long before it existed in reality. Vision sees what other people cannot see. Thomas Edison, if it wasn't for him, we'd be sitting in darkness. When he failed, he said, I failed forward. Over 1,000 failed attempts at inventing the light bulb. Reporters asked him about his failures. He replied, I've not failed. I've just found 1,000 ways that it doesn't work. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a mindset. Come on. Nelson Mandela saw a different South Africa. 27 years in prison. Could have emerged bitter. Instead, he emerged a visionary. He saw a rainbow nation, which people are no longer seeing. He saw reconciliation when others saw revenge. Maybe we'd get back there, South Africa. He saw a united nation when others saw division. And some are now trying to cause division. Your vision is always bigger than your personal pain. Because your vision is about the future, not just your future, the future for other people as well. Steve Jobs designed the future before it arrived. Fired from the company he started, imagine. Came back years later, reinvented multiple industries. He didn't ask, what do people want now? He asked, what will they need tomorrow? We are building churches for the future. We are building companies for the future. We are living for tomorrow. We are building a South Africa for tomorrow, where everybody has a future. Every child born in this country, a future. That's what I see. And I'll fight anything that opposes that. We will no longer judge one another on skin color. Come on, give a good hand clap, man. Today we get on airplanes and we forget where it started. The Wright brothers, not the wrong brothers. I mean, many people die trying to fly. You know what people used to do? Fact. Go study aviation. They would put on wings like birds, not realizing you can't flap your arms as quick as birds, and jumped off castles and buildings and tried to fly and went, splat. So the Wright brothers, listen now, no formal engineering education or degrees. All the experts said human flight is impossible. Newspapers ignored their first attempts. But vision doesn't need consensus. Forward momentum requires courage to look foolish to people until you look brilliant. Abram left without knowing where he was going. Joshua, arise and go over into a promised land where the giants have multiplied. Nehemiah saw the walls rebuilt when they were in ruins and inspired people, let's rebuild. I believe we can rebuild South Africa in a year with right leadership. And yeah, I'll clap your hands. Come on, don't be such. 1 year we can rebuild South Africa. Paul, forgetting what is behind. So people of vision don't live in yesterday. They don't worship comfort. Actually, they despise comfort. They don't wait for perfect conditions because they are never perfect conditions. They see promises beyond present pressure. The future does not belong to the comfortable. It belongs to the courageous. God never moves backwards. God always, always moves forward. He never tells you to sit, to settle, to soak. You will not find that anywhere in the Bible. That means this. You're offended. You're bitter. You're full of doubt. You're trapped in your past. Guilt, shame. Get your arm out of that stupid sling. Because you chose the sling. Sure, you were injured, but now you chose the sling. And there's a time that you may hurt. And you know, when I took my arm out of the sling, it wasn't easy. It was flippin' seer geweest. Verstaan julle? Dis 'n groot woord daai. Maar het was baie seer geweest. Was seer. Jy nou enig wat het al gedoen het, weet het. Dis alles wat jy doen is seer. Dis eina. Kry vir my jammer, dan sê die fysiotherapeut vir jou man, beweeg. Nou dan is dit nou 'n vrou, nou wat denk jy gaan jy nou doen as 'n man? Want is een van die wat, ek verstaan my man, jou hartjie is seer nie. Sy sê, jy het 'n half uur, my volgende kliënt kom, beweeg jou arm. Ok, dan gaan ek op. Hoe gaan ek nou vir 'n vrou wys? Ek voel jammer vir my. Ek moet doen wat ek moet doen. Ten spyte van pyn. It's part of the pain, I have to do what I have to do. So there was a time for the sling, but then there's a time you take that sling off. And this one end then are people that help you heal, not people that help you stay in a sling. Oh daddy, we understand why you feel like this. Oh mommy, we understand why you feel like this. Oh sir, we understand why. You don't need those voices. They'll keep you in a sling. And you'll become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And everybody sees it but you. Everybody sees it. Because you're in a sling. We can all live here. All of many reasons. There are 18-year-olds heartbroken sitting here tonight. There are girls here that's been molested, abused, raped in their lives. And they carry a smile on their face. That's reality. Our country. Girls that stand and worship God, but they're broken inside. And if they don't allow Jesus to heal, that becomes a sling when they get married. Need to be healed. That's why when Jesus comes, he comes to you first. Before he called the disciples and gave them great vision, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men vision. Come to me, I will make you, heal you, deliver you to fulfill vision. You can't be a broken individual and pursue vision. You'll collapse. You need to come to him. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. As you are. Messed up. Sinful. Broken. Angry. Depressed. Reflecting on the past. What happened to your parents? Angry. You have to come to Jesus because that anger is like a fire that will burn you and consume the life of God out of you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, someone moving in all our churches. And, you know, Jesus didn't just come to get us to heaven, but the first thing he did was to save us from our sin. And you are sitting here tonight in all our churches, and we're honored to have you. You have many first years. The most important part of the service is really how do you see God? What do you think about God? And have you opened your life to Jesus Christ? If you die tonight, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Do you have a vision for heaven? I spoke to somebody whose grandfather is very sick, who's busy dying, and he said, my granddad has no issue to go because I know he knows where he's going. He knows where he's going. He has vision. Paul said, I know where I'm going. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're sitting here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus. Or maybe at one time you did, but you've grown cold and wandered away from God. And there's like a fire burning in your heart. There's a stirring in your heart tonight. You're in Pretoria. The many thousands there in, you're in Bloemfontein. The many thousands there in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, in Potchefstroom, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, Kimberley, where all the students are, and many other places. Tonight you say, Pastor, I need a fresh start with God. You've come to university. Maybe you're not a first year. It doesn't matter. Maybe you've lost your life. Maybe you are in a sling. Maybe you're incapacitated. For whatever reason, tonight, you need to find your feet again. You need to come back to Jesus. Give Jesus your life. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. Forget your friends around you. There were two thieves who hung on the cross with Jesus in their final moment. The one mocked him. The other one cried out for mercy. And he got saved. With his final breath, he got saved. Doesn't matter what you've done. God's mercy is here. God's love is here. What you need to do is open your heart and allow Jesus to take his rightful place in your life. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to help you find your way back to God. There's a stirring in your heart. You know I'm talking to you. Tonight you say, Pastor, I need a fresh start with God, a new beginning. I want to give all to Jesus. I want to surrender all to Jesus. If that's your desire, right where you are. No distance in the realm of the Spirit. God's right there in Pretoria and Johannesburg. In all the other churches, God is talking to you, knocking at your heart tonight. You need to open the door and allow Jesus to come and live within you and heal you and raise you up again. Tonight you say, Pastor, that's me. I need a new beginning. I need to get back with God. I want to get right with God. If that's your desire, quietly, wherever you are, slip your hand up quickly. Now, in Jesus' name, raise your hand up high all over this place. Slip it up. Raise it up. Unashamedly, raise it up. Say yes. Include me in that prayer. Many hands. God bless you. Bless you. Raise it up. 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 Can any of you Afrikaans, Engels, Sotho, Xhosa, Zulu, as nie? God praat met jou. Hy praat met jou hart vanavond. Vanaand jou aand om jou saak reg te maak met die Here. Anders gaan hierdie wêreld jou insluk. Hy praat met jou daar in Potchefstroom, daar in Kaapstad, in Pretoria. Moenie die deur van jou hart sluit nie. Vanaand is 'n groot aand vir jou. Wat jy moet besluit en besin. Ek gaan nie langer lewe sonder die Here in my lewe nie. Gaan nie Sondag sonder godsdienst beoefen nie. Ek wil Jesus in my lewe hê. My lewe toewy aan Jesus. Voor ek bid vanaand, laaste keer, voor ek bid, vir julle Afrikaners, jy het nog nie hand opgetel nie, vanaand, is die woeling binnen jou, vergeet die meisie langs jou, vergeet die persoon langs jou, luister in jou hart vanaand. En sê ja, tel jou hand op vanaand, voor ek bid. Tonight, before I pray, you've not yet raised your hand, there's a stirring in your heart, lift your hand up quickly now, in the name of Jesus, raise it up. God bless you, God, all those hands, God bless you, many of you. Now, please look at me, all of you, wonderful, beautiful people, you're all created in God's image, look at me. I know it's your first time here, so work with me. Respect, mutual both ways, right? Not ordering you, respect. We need to do things. So in every church, I know when people tell you to stand up, you don't do what people tell you. So I'm asking you, politely, will you all please stand with me? Thank you. I said, Bliv, find your feet. Then all over this place, many of you raised your hands, we're going to pray with you. Many of you brought your friends to church, and like Andrew, you're going to bring Peter to Jesus. You have found the Christ, now you bring your world to Christ. They're in Johannesburg, they're in Pretoria, in Cape Town, in Potchefstroom, in Kimberley, in Windhoek, Gaborone, all the churches with us tonight. You're going to put your arm around your friend, because the only thing we can take to heaven are people. And change starts here before it starts out there. So all over this place, if you raise your hand, I want you to leave your seat. Don't think about it. Wherever you are, and come down the aisle closest to you. We are going to say a prayer tonight, together tonight. And God's going to do something beautiful in your life. Don't think about it. Take a step. Take a step out of your seat and walk this way. Walk this way. Come on there in Pretoria. Leave your seat and walk. Come down the steps on the side. Let us pray a prayer together there in Johannesburg. Come on, those young people that are going to change South Africa. Get out of your seat and get to the altar tonight in the name of Jesus. This is your moment. This is your time. Come on, those Foch students in your beautiful new building. We build that building for you so you can have an encounter with God. So you get out of your seat tonight and you get yourself to the altar and you give yourself to Jesus tonight. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Blum, good night, clap your lambda. Come on, clap, 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 clap. Come on, reik uit naar jou vrienden toe vanavond. Come on there in Pretoria, get yourself to the altar tonight. I feel a tremendous pulling of God in the church in Pretoria. Get yourself to the altar in the name of Jesus Christ. This will change your next 3, 4, 5 years as a student. Get yourself into the presence of Jesus Christ tonight. Come on. Come on, keep on clapping as many are walking in Johannesburg and Pretoria. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, Bloemfontein, jy wil en jy, vanaan die engel en die jimmel, jy wil en jy, come on, come on, house of revival, come on. Celebrate the harvest tonight, Johannesburg. That's a miracle, those young people. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Get the handbrake off on this platform. Come on, praise Him. More people are going to walk. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come, you still want to come? Leave your seat and come tonight. Leave your seat and come. Leave your seat and come. Come on, there's a fire burning in your heart. Leave your seat and come. There in Pretoria, get yourself down to the altar. There in Potchefstroom, get yourself down to the altar. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, CRC. Look at that, Johannesburg. Look at those hundreds getting saved in Johannesburg. Those of it's the UJ students. Come on, show us Pretoria. Come on. People are still walking to the altar. Pretoria. Hallelujah. That's amazing. That's revival. Right in front of your eyes, man. Amen. We need to get the energy up in this house again. I go to gym. My story is always, thanks for still coming to the altar, because I go to gym because I like to meet sinners. Yeah, it's one of the reasons I train, is to talk to people, because Christians just get sometimes too Christianese for me. So I was, just as I climbed out of my car, went up the stairs, a guy comes to me. No, actually came to me in the gym. There's always somebody talking to me. He says to me, I don't know what to say to you, but I just want to thank you. I say, yes. He said, 2007, while we were still at the tent in Pretoria, I was preaching from Bloemfontein, and he was a student. And he thought, why is this white pastor so angry with his passion? Because I didn't do the, dear beloved, we are gathered here today to recite Psalm 23 together. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. And lullaby. Okay. But in any case, he said, but something was burning in my heart all the time through the link. He said, there was sort of like a fire burning in me. And then which he knows now knows is an altar call, made the altar call, he came forward and he got saved radically. And his whole life changed. We have no understanding of what we are busy with in changing people's lives. That's why I stay committed to this, to get people saved. Because you can't buy this. You can't fabricate this. It's a God thing. And we need to thank God that we are part of this God thing. It's not a man thing. I said it's not a man thing so you can give God praise. It is a God thing. And because I realize what is at stake, I stay committed and I stay passionate. And I don't allow mediocrity and lukewarmness close to me. The stakes are too high. Because it's about souls getting saved. No lullaby in this church. No laid-back casual nonsense in this church. Step it up. Leaders, pastors, musicians, get back to that place. In Jesus' name. It's too much at stake. Too much at stake. I sometimes preach, I have no voice. Then I still get up and preach. And tomorrow, 10 to 1, I'll have no voice, which you don't realize. Yeah. Because I preach with everything. That's the price. Tomorrow, I will not be able to say a word. I'm not speaking death over myself. It's reality. Tomorrow, I'm like, just say nothing. After I preach in Johannesburg today, preach in Bloemfontein, preach Johannesburg. Now I'm here. Didn't say a word to save my voice to preach to you. Because I'm committed to the journey. I'm not yet to give a little. And I know what I do to my voice. But I do it because I do it because if I do it half-heartedly, people will not get saved, etc. You lay it, you give everything, or don't do it. You give a little story on a Sunday, just get out of the ministry. You try and be cool, get out, man. You try and promote yourself, just get out. We are His burning ones. It's not a game. And young people that are not used to this, they look at people like me and they think, what's wrong with him? No, actually you should be asking, what's wrong with your parents? Because you see somebody passionate, you think, he's a little bit too aggressive. I had a guy in my office, and he's a big man, big. And a mean man. And he said, and he comes to church, but he comes from a religious place. And now suddenly he meets a pastor that is passionate, and initially he didn't understand it. And he says, I don't understand why you're so passionate. I said, oh, really? And when you did this, you were very passionate. He was a famous TV personality in certain sports, etc. I said, so you want to go sit in a church where the person just is like docile, but when you operated full out. How does that work for you? He says, but you make me feel uncomfortable. I say, oh, am I here to make you feel comfortable? Huh? No. I'm here to bring the best out of you. And the only way I can bring the best out of you, I have to challenge you. I have to push you. I have to get something ignited in you, in Jesus' name. Because graveyard songs will not get us anywhere. A graveyard attitude, we all are dying slowly. It's not who we are. Resurrection life. Every song we sing on this platform, full of resurrection life. Every time we do anything, full of resurrection life. No, by the way. You run your business by the way, you get by the way results. You do anything by the way, you get by the way. You do anything laid back, you get laid back results. We are forward-minded people. And every can't say yes or be forefoot. You meet the ball. You don't wait for it to come to you. You meet it so you can win it. In Jesus' name. It's another way to live this life. The easy path is not the right path. It's a path of sacrifice, discipline, moving. Amen. Great honor to have all of you here tonight. You're going to have a great year here in Bloemfontein. Say amen. If you've never said amen, amen means so be it. Okay? It's not some bewitched spell. It's just you say amen. It means I agree. Let it be. So all the students there in Pretoria, you're going to have a great year. Johannesburg, you're going to have a great year. Potch students, you're all going to have an amazing year. Just listen, you're committing your lives to Christ. Now you need to stay committed. You need to be planted in a church. You need to come back to church and be committed to your spiritual journey. Tonight you get saved here. Next week you come back. And you serve God. Amen. Put your hand on your heart tonight. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say it. Because God hears you and God's going to change you. Say it tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I give my life back to you. Thank you so much that you love me just as I am. You love me so much that you went to the cross and you died for all my sin. But you rose from the grave triumphantly, and you are alive and you are listening to me. And I'm calling upon you, Jesus, save me, wash me in your blood, give me the power to be your child. Break the hold of sin and the devil over my life. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for a new life. I leave the past behind and I accept you publicly as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for a journey of wholeness and blessing starting today. I'm forgiven. I am free. I'm born again. I am your child. No turning back. You are my God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.